Hi, everybody. This is Nick Forster. We hope you've been enjoying our episodes from the E-Town Archives. This week, we're going to send out a birthday shout-out to prolific musician, DJ, producer, singer-songwriter, and activist Moby. Throughout his career, he's done a remarkable job of bringing all kinds of sounds, including lots of archival recordings from rural America, to a worldwide audience. He has regularly connected his musical career with causes that he cares about. He's a vegan and an animal rights guy, which is something that we've talked about and we can certainly get behind. He's most well known for his work in the electronic genre, but here he joins us in kind of a stripped down acoustic setting for this intimate performance from back in 2009 that we recorded in Baltimore. Hope you enjoy it.
Well, thank you very much.
On the train, send me back my home. I couldn't live without you. Or when I tried to roam, put me by the window, let me see outside. I look at all the places where all my family died, where all my family died, where all my family died. All my family died. Leave me by the churchyard, leave me on my own. A storm will come and take me back to my old home. Leave me by the window, let me see outside. Look at all the places where all my family died. All my family died. Where all my family died. Where all my family died.
Thank you, thank you. And this is another happy song called Mistake.
Don't speak to me this way. Don't ever let me say, don't leave me again, don't leave me again. Oh, you never felt this lost before, and the world is closing doors. I never wanted anything more. Oh, you never felt this lost before. And the world is closing doors. I never wanted anything more. Don't hurt me this way. Don't touch me this way. Don't hurt me again. Don't hurt me again. Don't hurt me this way. Don't touch me this way. Don't hurt me again. Don't hurt me again. Oh, you never felt this lost before. And the world is closing doors. I never wanted anything more. Oh, you never felt this lost before. And the world is closing doors. I never wanted anything more. Don't let me make the same mistake again. Please don't let me make the same mistake again. Don't let me make the same mistake again. Don't let me make the same mistake again. Oh, you never felt this lost before. And the world is closing doors. I never wanted anything more. Oh, you never felt this lost before. And the world is closing doors. I never wanted anything more. Don't let me make the same mistake again. Don't let me make the same mistake again. Please don't let me make the same mistake again. Don't let me make the same mistake again.
Moby, welcome to E-Town.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, no, it's great to have you. I mean, I think I was a little surprised. I wasn't sure, just because you've done so many different sort of types of things, I didn't know whether there would be a wall of drum machines and turntables and samplers and stuff.
Well, when we're on tour and doing our normal shows, there are about 8 or 9 people on stage, and it's a big, huge production, and that's why I really love being able to do things that are just more simple and stripped down.
Yeah. Now, you started out, as I mentioned, as a teenager in a punk band, but even before that, you studied classical guitar and some music theory or composition?
Yeah, I have about the strangest musical background of any person I've ever met. When I was really young, I had a guitar teacher who taught me music theory, and we studied classical music, but he also loved speed metal. And so one day we would be working on Bach, and then we would do a note-perfect version of Purple Haze. He also is the person who taught me how to make those great heavy metal faces when you're playing a solo.
Oh, wow.
You know,
wow.
Like the biting the air face when you're really
into
it.
I don't know that, but we're not going to be able to share it with our radio listeners, I don't think, somehow. Mm-hmm. But just think biting the air.
Everyone's seen it. Like the guitar players on stage, and they're just so into what they're doing, and they have to do something, so they're doing all those mouth contortions.
Yeah.
And at some point, air gets bitten.
Well, I don't remember that from bluegrass, but that's just a different frame of mind for me. And is it true that Moby is a reference to your family connection to Herman Melville?
Well, this is what my parents decided before I was born, that if I were a boy, I'd be named Richard Melville Hall. And then I came out, and they named me Richard Melville Hall, and they looked at this little white grub of a baby, and they said, Richard Melville Hall is a great name for, like, a 50-year-old attorney. It's a much less appropriate name for a tiny little Elmer Fudd baby. And so, as a joke, they nicknamed me Moby,
And so for 44 years, I've been saddled with my infant joke nickname.
Wow. Wow. Yeah. Wow. And I'm sure there are lots of people who think of it as a hipster affectation, you know, that was just like Cher or something like that. But
no, if I was, I mean, I'm...
You would have picked a different name?
And it's better to be named Moby than Ahab.
Yeah.
You know? But you think of, like, the people with the cool one-word names like Sting and Bono and The Edge, like, those are cool names.
Right.
Moby is not a cool name.
Yeah. Well, you once said that electronic musicians aren't cool. They may try to look cool, but they're nerds who read Star Trek books when they were kids. Was that you?
I did say that, but I would qualify that and say it's you don't just read Star Trek books when you're a kid.
Well, so in this transition towards coolness, regardless of whether or not it's ever achieved, that transition towards coolness, I know you definitely had a happening career as a DJ for a while. You know, a lot of us don't really know that scene. What was it like? You were...
It's a weird world. I mean, it's all drugs and late nights and vice. But when I was really involved in the world of DJing, I was a straight edge. So I didn't drink, I didn't take drugs, I didn't indulge in anything. So it made me sort of like a kind of objective observer. It was like an anthropologist at nightclubs right. at 5 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah. In case you just joined us, listening to E-Town, we're spending some time with Moby from New York City. Let's talk a little bit about politics and causes and how they mix with music. Did you grow up in a political household, an active household in that way?
Oh yeah, I was raised by hippies. And from an early age, it was just instilled in me that the only worthwhile use of our lives is by being an activist. And so that's when I got into the punk rock world. We were very militant about our political beliefs. As in my solo career, I've also been very outspoken about my beliefs, mm-hmm. and it's gotten me into a lot of trouble. Mm-hmm.
You know, you don't hold back. You know, I know you're somebody who appreciates the Bible, and yet you rail against evangelical right-wing Christians. You know, that's an interesting juxtaposition.
Well, I mean, I'm the most idiosyncratic Christian in the world, because I'll never say that Christianity is any better than any other religion. I mean, for me, whatever beliefs I have are ultimately very subjective. But what strikes me as really strange is that the agenda of the Christian right in the United States has no foundation in the actual teachings of Christ. And it sort of boggles my mind. Like when George Bush referred to himself as a Christian, I was like, so where in the Gospels does Jesus talk about taking wealth from the poor, giving it to the rich, executing people who are developmentally disabled and waging war on brown people? Like, I don't, maybe that's
yeah.
the Gospel of Rumsfeld that is in the Apocrypha that
little,
I don't know about.
Little but, known, yeah. Still maybe rolled up in a sea scroll somewhere, yeah.
But it was just so strange, like if George Bush and many supposed ostensible like Christians in politics and in public, they're never questioned about this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, you're absolutely right. And, you know, we don't need to pick on George Bush because, you know, he's off in his other world. But the point is...
I was using him as, like, the poster child for that sort of, like, ideological inconsistency on the part of the right.
I think it doesn't serve the conversation anymore, though, because it sort of makes a whole bunch of people stop listening. The reality is, you know, I mean, believe it or not, there are lots of people who defend him, I guess. Mm-hmm. And so I think that, you know, the conversation, as much as we can make it such that, yeah, it is true, exactly what you say is true, that there's behavior that is worthy of being replicated and modeled, and that ain't it. Mm-hmm. You did a tour recently in California where you dedicated the proceeds from your concert tour to a cause that you're passionate about, which is a fight against domestic violence. And there had been a situation, as I understand, in California where they cut a lot of the funding for programs in that arena.
Governor Schwarzenegger actually cut all funding to domestic violence programs in California. So I got involved with the California Partnership to End Domestic Violence, and I donated the money that I made in California to them to be distributed to different shelters and domestic violence programs. And we also waged a media campaign, and we thought we were going to spend like 6 months trying to get funding reinstated to domestic violence programs. And about A week and a half into our media campaign, the state legislature convened an emergency session and voted to reinstate all funding. It's the most effective activist campaign I've ever been involved in, where we spent a couple of weeks and we got $20 million reinstated to domestic violence programs in California.
Wow. That's remarkable. Now, there's another cause that I know is near and dear to your heart, and it's an issue in Africa, an organization called Amend.org. Maybe you could tell the folks about that a little bit.
Well, the number one cause of death for people between the ages of 4 and 21 in sub-Saharan Africa, and I ask this question, people say maybe it's HIV, maybe it's malaria, traffic accidents.
Wow.
It's the number one cause of death because hospitals are poorly equipped and there aren't that many of them. They don't have streetlights, they don't have stoplights, and they don't have sidewalks. So kids walking to and from school, kids walking to and from the well, just get hit by a car and are essentially left to die on the side of the road. So we started this organization called Amend.org, where we give traffic reflectors to school kids in sub-Saharan Africa. And we're able to cut the rate of traffic fatalities by 50% just by giving out reflectors that cost 10 cents.
Wow. Wow. In case you just joined us listening to E-Town, we're spending some time with Moby from New York City. We should briefly touch on the fact that you have a new record. The CD is called Wait For Me. It's not to be confused with Norah Jones' CD that was called Come Away With Me or Nellie Mackay's CD that was called Get Away From Me. It's called Wait For Me. And I don't know if you recorded it in a different environment or...
I've decided I don't like big, slick records made in big recording studios. So I recorded this album in my bedroom using a lot of old broken down equipment. Instead of having big celebrity guest vocalists, I got my friends to come sing on it.
Yeah.
So it's a very sort of homemade, it's a very mournful record and a very quiet record. It's certainly not a party record. Like any DJ working in a nightclub who tries to play a track off this record will be fired on the spot. I'm convinced of it. Yeah.
Well, you're a feeling guy and you're out there doing good stuff and making good music.
Oh, thank you. That means a lot to me.
Yeah. We've covered some ground. Mm-hmm. The world's going to be better.
And the world is going to be a better place.
I think we need some more music.
Okay. My friend Kelly Scar is going to sing this next song. And a few members of your fantastic E-Tones are going to come out and play as well. And I'm going to go play your beautiful grand piano over there.
Excellent.
Thanks.
Welcome back from New York City, Moby.
Spring and all the words we said.
Moby. Kelly Starr on the vocals. Joe Rogers playing guitar. Beth Rosbach on the cello. Thank you for listening. This is Nick Forster. Join us next week, and we'll be back with more from the E-Town Archives.